This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
Sunny Jane Wise was diagnosed as neurodivergent as a child, and at the age of 11, they overdosed on medication because they thought it was something that would make them better.
Since then, they've gone on to build an audience of over 100,000 people online and have written the Neurodivergent-Friendly Workbook of DBT Skills.
We are jumping right in when I just realised with this intro. We're diving right into
it. It's all in.
Later this month, Sunny's new book, We Are All Neurodiverse, is going to be published, and they join us now to tell us more about their story. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. What an introduction. Just go right in.
We're diving right in.
So what was it like for you as a child being diagnosed with being neurodiverse in a time when it wasn't as commonly spoken about as it is now?
Well, it was really horrible, actually. There was a very deficit understanding of autism and ADHD. So there was a lot of shame, a lot of bullying, a lot of exclusion, and a lot of, you know, not getting my needs met.
Mm. How long ago was that?
So I'm 31, and I was diagnosed when I was about 7 to 8 years old, so 1999, 2000.
Yeah, wow.
Which, yeah, is not that long ago when you really think about it. Like,
you say that, but that's like,
I know,
as someone who's also only 32, like that's a long...
That's 23 years
20-something
ago.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it is a long time ago, but when we think how far we've come in information and understanding of things is what I mean.
Oh, absolutely, because like our, like, you know... That deficit narrative about autism and ADHD and neurodivergence, it still exists, but now there is more affirming information about autism and ADHD.
Do you feel like there's now just more of a, oh, well, my child is showing these signs, so they're probably just on the spectrum, and like there's just like a, okay, well, it is what it is, because it's talked about more? Or do you think there's still a lot of stigma around it?
There's still a lot of stigma, but there is also a lot of parents who are like, it is what it is, because there's more access to affirming resources and education on autism. But don't get me wrong, like, we're not where we're supposed to be yet, but we're better than where we were.
Yeah.
Well, it has been interesting. I've noticed in the past year a lot of parents are realising that where they are on the spectrum because of the diagnoses that are existing within their children. Mm. So we're absolutely getting there. So in addition to your neurodiversity, you also identify as non-binary and have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the challenges you face that people may not be aware of when you're looking at all that together?
Oh, God, so much.
Besides everything, which I feel like, yeah.
I think for a lot of autistic people, because autistic people are often seen as less than, or they're seen as incompetent or incapable, like really harmful stereotypes and stigma, like autistic people, when they're, you know, coming out as trans or non-binary or queer, their gender and their sexuality is often invalidated by the people around them. And then as well, like how autistic people experience or relate to their gender may often be different to a non-autistic person as well. So there's that overlap. And then when autistic people try to receive support from professionals, from mental health professionals, often they may be like awesome when it comes to autism, but they're not so awesome when it comes to their gender and sexuality. So they receive like invalidation in that aspect.
Yeah. Oh, that must be incredibly difficult to navigate. How have you been able to navigate that space of finding support that is right for you? Or is it an ongoing game of finding the right support?
It's an ongoing game. Like I have a list of check boxes where like, all right, they got to be like neurodiversity affirming. They got to have an understanding of like being trans and non-binary. They got to be a good person. They got to have some, you know, solid values. They need to be understanding of disabilities. And it's really hard to find someone who ticks all those boxes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I'm just sitting here going, having that checklist, having that space is no, it's so important because you don't think about it and it makes such a difference and you don't want to make, you know, your care and your experience harder on you.
Yeah. And, you know, when you see someone, you want them to see all of you. You don't want them to just see one part of your identity. You want them to see all of your identities. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a common problem that we find along every aspects of life, especially within our communities, because, you know, that so many don't understand or can't.
Yeah, no, that's really true because, like, I have, like, you know, a solid community of friends and they may be, like, super affirming when it comes to my gender but not so good when it comes to accommodating my physical disabilities, for example.
Yeah. We're going to get into a bit more about the support that you have set up as well as your new book right after this. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
Sunny Jane Wise, a bit of a trifecta is not the word, but neurodivergent, non-binary, living with a disability. And we're chatting all the diversity of that in the lead up to your brand new book coming out, We Are All Neurodiverse.
Yeah, now, Sunny, you are the founder of a drop-in care space in Adelaide, which is a peer-led community centre for queer, neurodivergent and disabled adults. You also said you do training in this space as well. What is it like with an intersection between numerous communities that need support? How is it working in a space where you help other people understand that there are people who have intersecting needs?
It's really difficult. I think, you know, whenever I do trainings or I have meetings, you know, I try to, I guess, lead by lived experience, literally, and role model, you know, what it's like to have intersecting needs and differences and identities. So, you know, it does look like requesting accommodations and being like, hey, you know, I have to do this interview differently. Or, hey, you know, when I do this training, I might forget my words. I might need a chair. You know, I need this in advance. And so when I provide trainings to organizations, I'm almost role modeling how they can be affirming. So it's kind of cool, but obviously, you know, it does put a bit of labor onto myself.
Going to say that must be a little also exhausting, like making space and time for yourself also is a really important part of that.
Oh, what's time and space for myself? What's that?
Yeah, we don't know what that is either.
Yeah.
Now this, the drop-in care space in Adelaide, did you kind of create that because you saw there wasn't any spaces like this that were out there and we needed to do something and just to start this going?
Yeah, so I created it for two reasons. Growing up, I didn't have access to community. I didn't really discover my own gender, my own relationship with my gender until I met other trans and non-binary people. I didn't, you know, unlearn a deficit narrative of autism until I met other autistic people. So I really believe in the importance of community spaces for that. And in Adelaide, there were lots of community spaces for teenagers and even like older adults. But for those who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, like, you know, it's like they think we don't need fun things to do. There was mostly, you know, go to the pub. Awesome. But like, we want to play board games.
So what is the space like?
It's lovely. We're really poor. We need funding, just putting that out there. But it's nice. I think, you know, it's kind of like walking into your friend's living room. It's a very homey feel. And, you know, it's colourful. It's cozy. It's not clinical. And that's something we really try not to be, that we don't want to be clinical. We don't want to have white walls and white furniture and beige decorations. We want it to look like it's for the community, by the community.
Love. Well, let's jump into the book, We're All Neurodiverse. It's being released on the 21st of November, which is only like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, not far.
12 days.
I mean, it's already written, right? 12. Yeah, you've finished it.
Yes.
It's just waiting for its official release. What can we expect from this book? Because I think there is a bit of a chat around, particularly, I guess, in the queer community, we talk about it a lot. Maybe we are all a little neurodiverse.
I feel like we are, yeah.
Well, I think queer people, you literally diverge from how, like, we diverge from how society expects us to function. They expect us to, you know, be cisgender and, like, straight. So, like, I feel like, yeah, queer people are probably automatically neurodivergent, because that's what neurodivergent is. It's an identity for anyone who diverges from how society wants and expects us to function.
It's such a simple explanation, the way you just said it, but I've never thought of it that simply.
I'm all about like reframing complex topics into really simple ways, because like, well, everything is.
We need more of you in the world educating people.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you.
So what can we expect inside the book as well, other than just that brilliant explanation right there?
Oh, you can expect your minds to be blown. And I don't say that lightly. I've chatted to a few people who have read the book, and they've been like, holy crap. Like, you know, I've been challenged. Like, what I thought to be true isn't actually true. And
is that just in people's relationship with what they think neurodiversity is, or within themselves as well?
Within themselves, but also with like the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, like, you know, the Bible of psychiatry, how people frame disorders, where disorder comes from, and neuronormativity as well. A lot of people might be familiar with neurodiversity and neurodivergence, but what underpins both of those things is neuronormativity, and how neuronormativity, how society expects us to function, is actually like rooted in capitalist and colonialist and racist frameworks, in white supremacy. And it's challenging to hear, but it's really important.
Other than your like personal experience in this space, have you gone and done like a degree in something? Like, where have you gotten all of this incredible information?
Well, I actually have a Bachelor of Psychology.
Okay, makes sense.
There it is.
It didn't teach me much.
No, but it taught you how to research the things that you needed to know.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I do love research. And I think my psych degree is what inspired me to be like, hang on, what am I being taught, and why am I being taught this? Where did this come from? And I feel like that's like the autism coming out. Autistic people are always like, but why? But why?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that curiosity, that incessant need for the truth has led me to write this book and unpack everything.
Love.
I mean, I'm very excited to have a read of it. We also hear that you came in yesterday and pre-recorded an episode of Word for Word with Joy's very own Lisa Daniels. What was that like?
That was actually, it was really cool, because Lisa asked questions that I'm not used to answering, that really went into like my childhood and everything. So I was like, all right, let's get into this.
The research Lisa does, like Lisa does such a great job with that show.
It was
impressive. And you never quite know, I've been a guest of it as well, and you never quite know where you're going to start or where you're going to end. It's really interesting. So
do we know when that episode's going to be aired on Word for Word?
I believe it'll be within 2 weeks.
Okay, great. So it maybe might be Saturday in a week.
With the launch of the book.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't it be great if that ties together? The book launches on November 21st in the same week, and it's Lisa, so highly likely Lisa has thought about all of those things.
Yes.
So very excited to hear that on Word for Word here on Joy, but also to read your book, because, yeah, this is really interesting.
You can find out more of all of Sunny's projects on their Instagram and Lived Experience Educator, and check out
Lived Experience Educator.
And check out their new book, We're All Neurodiverse, when it is released later this month.
But also, if you just type in Sunny Jane Wise in the search, It'll come up.
I'm popular.
First one that comes up.
Do we look for the picture with sparkles on your face? Because this is not a visual medium. However, Sunny's gone all out this morning.
We're going to have to put a picture on the socials.
Oh, I have rainbow freckles. They're actually tattooed.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I don't have the patience to, like, I thought you had put that on.
That's what it is.
Oh,
okay, we're going to put a picture on the Insta story so that you can all see. That's so exciting.
My mind is blown.
Thank you for joining us this morning on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.